I see that look on your face over there.
I like this song.
We continue ahead with the show, complete with music.
Mm-hmm.
At least for a little bit, anyway. My name is Jeremy Lawrence. Roger Taylor has the day away. And, you know, I looked on the old calendar here, just in case people were curious. Tomorrow, during the program, we're going to have an hour's worth of the program. But then, a little special bonus for you, since it's the end of the year. We'd like to bring you special bonuses, mm-hmm. you know. So, we talked to the good folks at Michigan State to see if they would be willing to have a little basketball game in the afternoon. They said, yeah, sure. So, they're going to have one, and our coverage starts at 4 o'clock tomorrow. So, we did that just for you.
Yes.
Because we care, and we knew that you would want a nice little bonus to start off your New Year's just the right way.
And open up Big Ten conference play.
Which, yeah, you can't beat that, too, because that always makes things a lot more interesting. I mean, you think about it. I mean, you know, the Big Ten so far, they've been taking on, you know, North Carolina A&T and the St. Mary's School for the Blind and whoever else. So, you know, it gets interesting when they start to beat up on each other.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, no more like every team just winning every game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, what was it I saw? It was a score the other day. I think it was like a 30-point differential between Ohio State and University of Louisiana at Monroe.
Yes.
I thought, oh, there's a matchup right there. Yeah. Wonder who's going to win that one. So, you know, it happens, I guess. You know, they just schedule this kind of stuff to build themselves up, and then the Big Ten hits. And, you know, this is when, I mean, honestly, this is when the real season hits,
mm-hmm.
as far as that goes. But so we got that little bonus for you tomorrow. You'll want to be aware of that. Starts up at 4 o'clock. Be prepared for that. Now, we've been spending some time talking about, well, all sorts of stuff, and we continue to do that. One of the interesting things that was brought up, this was brought up last week, actually, and is part of a larger concern, at least on the part of some people. Governor Rick Snyder was asked recently about whether or not he could see himself running for president in 2016. Now, this is one of the things that was thrown at him. Now, he hasn't even gone up for re-election yet in the state of Michigan. He's not won anything here as far as, and re-election, a lot of people look on as important.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, somebody asked, what do you think about running for president? And he just laughed and said, and I quote, that's way out. That's just wild. And then they followed up and said, now, come on, Governor. Are you willing to say I will not run for president? He said, quote, I see no value in that.
Ooh.
So he's not necessarily saying, yeah, or no. He's just kind of going, well, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of focused on Michigan. Oh, tree. You got to think, you know, and I don't necessarily, you know, I really don't know a lot about Governor Snyder at this point. So I'm just kind of sitting back and watching to see what he does and that kind of thing. Suffice to say, he's being very political. If
yes.
you look at the way that he's acting, because this is the sort of thing to be able to say that a lot of politicians will do, and that is just simply to kind of go, oh, no, what are you kidding? Yeah, you know, I mean, that's all they do. I mean, think about before 2008 when people would say to Hillary Clinton, are you going to run for president? Are you kidding? What? That's not, we're not talking about that right now. Come on. You know. And that was her response up until the point where she decided, yeah, I'm running for president, which everybody knew
yeah.
at that point. Now, you know, is she running next time? Not, there's an awful lot of people not asking the question directly of her. And they will here in the next year or two when she actually grants interviews, and probably will get the same thing of, oh, that's funny. And what is it with politicians that they have this reaction? You ask them a simple question, you get this kind of, they'll go, squirrel. I mean, it's almost sort of like this ADD kind of reaction that, you know, I don't really want to tell you what I'm thinking here.
Yeah, they beat around the bush.
Yeah. You know, and in this case with Governor Snyder, I think he could have said, 2016 is a long ways away. And, you know, we haven't even really announced for next year for, you know, for governor yet. So, you know, let's focus on the state here. We got a lot of problems to deal with. You know, well, that you respect, to be able to say, all right, I want to focus on the state, see if we can get some of this agenda pushed through and that kind of thing. And you know he's running for re-election for governor. You know that.
Yeah.
He's not said it yet, but he's going to. You know that. But I guess I would more respect that kind of an answer instead of a, I don't see any value in that. That's just wild.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. Left field.
You know, and you got to say this. From the standpoint of, I mean, Democrats, you pretty much know who it's going to be. If she runs, she's probably going to get the opportunity to stand for her party. We're talking Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Republican side, it's not as far out wild as the governor says to say that he would be an interesting candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an awful lot of other interesting candidates that you look at. I mean, certainly Chris Christie is always a part of the discussion.
Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz has been a part of the discussion as well. One that was not, I mean, it was part of the discussion the last time around that has not been mentioned this time is former Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, which would be interesting if he decided to step away. I guess he's president of Purdue right now. But it'd be interesting to see if he'd be willing to step back into the fray.
Yeah.
Being removed from it at that point. He was certainly an interesting candidate, sort of an anti-candidate, if you will. But this is a guy during his term as Indiana governor that would ride around the state on a motorcycle to, you know, various events and things like that. You can see him kind of wheeling in his motorcycle.
I got a picture in my head right now,
you know,
of that.
There'd be an awful lot of people that would like that sort of thing. You know, that you see a presidential candidate kind of wheel in on his Harley or, you know, even a Goldwing if you're into the Honda thing. But, yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, for, you know. Forget the limo. Forget the motorcade. I'm coming in on a motorcycle.
You know, do that. Or actually, one of the things he did when he campaigned was in a motorhome, which was interesting. He actually had people that came to his event sign the side of his motorhome with like a Sharpie or something. Yes, it was interesting. But but it's not out of the realm of possibility to say, all right, governor of a swing state, he's a Republican. Fairly popular, that Republicans might say, well, we want to go for somebody like that, get a fresh face instead of going along and going, oh, well, let's see who ran before and didn't get it. Well, let's see. That's Huckabee and Santorum. Pick one of those guys. They're next, you know, because there's going to be an awful lot of people go, oh, that's boring.
Yeah,
that's absolutely boring.
Same old candidates again.
So you can picture Republicans wanting to go maybe a different direction. And Chris Christie hasn't gotten the acclaim from conservatives that he might want. And let's face it, he's a Republican governor in a blue state.
Yes.
So he's going to have some problems that way. But to say Rick Snyder is a possible name for president, it's not not completely wild and crazy. Still very early, though, to talk about that. But what do you think? 382-4280, if you got a different idea, if you think, nope, worst possible candidate in the world, feel free to give us a call. Or if you think, you know what, no, that's right on the money, he'd make a great candidate. Also, 877-382-4280. The thing that you hear from Governor Snyder, and you know, he's certainly been interesting in the sense that he's been willing to look at certain issues and go, okay, I'm better informed on that, so I'm going to go this way now. Of course, some other people call that a flip-flop too. So, you know, some people wouldn't necessarily like that.
Yeah.
And let's face it, Mitt Romney was in there for Republicans last time, and he was considered kind of a flip-flopper on some things. I mean, he was pro-choice at one point, went pro-life, not terribly strong with the right wing of the party. So, yeah.
You got to stick to your guns.
You do have to have certain elements that you go, okay, I'm not going to back off from this. But as politicians would call that, you know, they're not flip-flopping. Their position is evolving, you know, because let's face it, there's been an awful lot of politicians that have had that. I mean, President Obama himself had a position on gay marriage that evolved from when he was first elected, saying, no, he believes that marriage is between a man and a woman, to, no, I think gay marriage is a good thing, you know. So I personally would call it a flip-flop no matter who does it. But I guess you look at it and go, well, evolution. I don't know. Just one of those things. But the interesting thing about it, I mean, and Governor Snyder is not the kind of guy that's, I mean, he's not a career politician.
No.
But to see him kind of going the direction of politicians, well, you know what? There's just no, there's no value to that. Instead of, you know what? No, I'm not going to run for president. Or, you know what? I'm thinking about it. But I think there's other things I got to look at first because 2016 is way out there.
Yeah.
Answer that, and I'm going to go, okay, that's fair.
Yeah, or you could say, oh, I'm not concerned about running for president. I'm concerned about running for governor of the state of Michigan and correcting the problems here.
There you go. There you go. That kind of thing. Of course, he hasn't officially announced.
No.
And, you know, that would kind of spoil that. But and you have to be, if you're in a politician's shoes, you have to be very, very careful with what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are those in the media, and I don't think in this building, but I think there are those in the media who will take your words and twist them out of shape and into something that it doesn't really mean.
Absolutely.
And then you end up with, oh, Governor Snyder said this when he really didn't. You know, but, you know, so I understand being careful, but at the same time, I think you could be a little too careful.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I think is refreshing, if you look at certain candidates, and very early to look at the presidential race and that sort of thing, but if you look at certain candidates, the ones that are kind of like, well, it's probably their turn, Chris Christie comes to mind, and the thing that makes him refreshing is the way that he responds to questions.
Yeah.
Because if you see him at any news conference or anything like that, you'll see him respond. I remember watching one where they asked him if he was upset with somebody. He's like, if you think I'm upset, you should see when I'm really ticked off. And just to see the way that he responded, it is refreshing. Because it's real, and there's not many politicians that do that.
Yeah.
I think the big thing for a lot of people as they look at the political spectrum, as they look at who's in office, not just president, but congressmen, governors, anybody that holds a major political office, they're looking at them through the lens of, okay, where are we and where should we be? And what have you done to make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's face it, the president's got low approval ratings. Congress is actually, I think, more popular than, like, head lice and herpes or something. I don't remember what the poll said. But, I mean, Congress has got an approval rating that, you know, I probably have higher approval ratings nationwide, even though nobody knows me.
Yeah.
You know. So I think people look at this and say, well, we want something a little different in a politician. But let's look at this, for example. Rick Snyder, if you look back on his campaign to be governor, there was like, well, let's reinvent Michigan. Let's do more to change the culture and that kind of thing. People respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
Look back on the last two presidents. They got elected because we need to change the tone in Washington. Now, they didn't have any plan on doing anything about it. They just said, we need to change the tone. We need to, I mean, you know, Obama, hope and change.
Yes.
It plays very well. People like that. But, you know, I guess, you know, the reality is a little different because it's gone from hope and change to, gee, I hope I have some change in my pocket. You know, because it just, it's not worked out that way. But there's an awful lot of people that, do want to hear more specifics from candidates. But think about the people that are in the electorate that don't demand specifics mm-hmm. from their candidates. And, you know, and it's both sides of the aisle, not just one, that suffers from that. You know what? I want to do something to make your life better. Elect me, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do after you elect me.
And then they don't tell you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Or they just, okay, now we, you know what? We were going to have that side squirrel.
Yeah, when they get elected, we should hold them accountable. Like, mm-hmm. you know, okay, you said you were going to change this. Well, all right, when are you going to change it? And mm-hmm. lay out a plan, when it's going to happen, what you're going to do.
Sure.
How you're going to do it.
Now, you know, you see a lot of different possibilities out there. you know, you bring up Mitch Daniels was a name, and he's a guy that when he was, as governor of Indiana, demanded that they cut certain programs and certain things. And when they made the cuts and people reported to him and they said, hey, like you said, you wanted a 6% cut here. We were able to do 6.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd look at him and go, let's go for 7. So he was always demanding a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see other ones and you see, you know, they're not so steady on what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, Bobby Jindal's another name that's mentioned, and he's a guy that sounds nice, but he's not too much into specifics.
No.
And certainly not much in media realms. You don't see him doing interviews terribly often. There's a reason for that. There is a big reason for that. Well, it's just some of the thoughts as you look ahead. And 2014 is going to be a big year in terms of, I mean, the off-year elections are coming up. Congress, you know, Republicans are looking at the Senate and certainly drooling all over themselves going, we could get the Senate. We could get the Senate. So it'll be interesting to see how things shape up as we head into an election year. I don't know.
It's going to be very interesting.
Discussion continues. Of course, you're always welcome to give us a call, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. The show continues ahead. Continuing along here on the show, Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Roger Taylor out for the day. He has promised to be back for our abbreviated show tomorrow here on 590 WKZO. Glad to be here with you. Been talking about all sorts of stuff. An interesting thing came up in the news, and this was just, I think it was late last week I saw this, involves Facebook. And this comes courtesy of The Telegraph. They're a British publication. And they said that there's been a study on how teens use social media, and they found that young users see Facebook as not just kind of backsliding, not just kind of, you know, on the outs. They say it is dead and buried.
Ooh.
Now, this is interesting because, and I will admit, it took me a little bit to adopt Facebook myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. As most people have done, I have reconnected with all sorts of people that I've been friends with and otherwise over the last, you know, 30 years or so. And it is interesting for that.
Yes.
But the other part about it, you can kind of understand, particularly for younger social media users, they're sitting here going, well, wait a minute, my parents and grandparents are on here. Oh, yeah. I can't say all the stuff I want to.
Fortunately, mine aren't.
Now, the interesting thing about it is just to see the evolution of it, because I know several years back I had some friends that were on there, but it was a lot of younger friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, people that were at the time in their mid-20s and that kind of thing. It was to be expected, you know, this because it started as kind of a way for college students to interact and that kind of thing. It started on a college campus.
Yeah.
And to see what it's become, because I finally decided, okay, this is a great way to stay connected to people, okay. And then, you know, when you see people like, say, my mother, who just turned 70 this year, hooking up on Facebook to figure out what we're all doing. You know.
Checking up on you.
This is an easier way to keep up with us, you know, yeah. And to say, oh, okay, the grandkids are doing this and, you know, the kids are doing that. Okay, great. You know, but that's what's happened a lot of times. The other thing when you get on Facebook is you have to put up with the game players.
Oh, yes.
And I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
You know, this is like, I don't know how many times I have been invited to play Candy Crush Saga, and I do not want to play.
Yes.
Okay?
I am so tired of people sending me those invites. I just ignore them completely. I would like to put on my status, please don't send me that, but then I'd probably get defriended by a lot of people.
No, I've actually done that a time or two, gone and said, look, I know you're playing your little games and having your little bit of fun. Don't include me. Don't invite me. You will be ignored.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, I just, I don't, and I used to play games on there myself. It was something to do until I figured out, wait a minute, this doesn't get me anywhere.
There are a few games I play. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Are you?
Yeah, sometimes I
okay,
am.
Okay, all right. I just had to ask.
Words with Friends, Family Feud, you know, but they're all like game show games. I don't play any of those really addictive ones like Candy Crush.
Sure, sure. Well, now, what was it a few years ago? Mafia Wars.
Mafia Wars, yeah.
Which I will admit, I played that until I got to a point and realized, wait a minute, all this clicking gets me nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, I keep clicking over and over, and why? It just gets you nowhere. The funny thing, though, I was going to mention this, is I went on the last time to say, look, I'm not playing any of these games. I'm not telling you not to, but I'm not doing it. Please do not invite me. Someone said on there, commented right after that, tell me if I end up inviting you, because I don't want to have to do that. Okay, great. 2 days later, she invited me. Are you kidding? So it's understandable, but apparently younger people are using social media that is simpler. Twitter, for instance. And there's another one that's out there. I don't know if you've heard of this one. It's called Feed.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, that one just started here a year or so ago. But basically, it's taken the best parts of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and things like that and combined them in a totally different way. It's interesting. There's just not a lot of people on there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mentioned on Twitter probably about 9-10 months ago and got kind of a surge of interest. But I was on there for a while and was like, I don't know anybody on here. You know. So, and then, of course, to top it off, you've got things like Google Plus, which, unless you know somebody that happens to work for Google, you're not going to find too many people on there that you know. I did know there was somebody that that I'm hooked up with, a marketing expert, that thinks, though, Google Plus could be the next big thing.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, we'll have to see.
I don't know. It just, as long as they don't have a ton of games on there.
Yeah,
that's,
please.
That's my only request.
Please, no games.
No, I don't want to be invited to Candy Crush Saga.
Oh, I have 5 notifications, all game invites.
Of course. CBS News coming up. Continue on here on the show. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Roger Taylor having the day away. Just a brief note from CBS News. There's apparently been a freight train derailed in North Dakota. This is near Castleton, North Dakota. Says that an eyewitness told a CBS TV affiliate that about half a mile away, you can see large flames in the area. I'm sure CBS News will keep up with that. And keep you in the know as far as that goes. Now, one thing that I wanted to do, and there's an awful lot of opinions on this. New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do them. Some people don't. I generally have not done a lot of them over the years because you don't ever really keep them.
Yeah.
Some people are into that. And as we come up on the new year, yeah, I know it's snuck up on you because it has me. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But maybe there's something that you're kind of thinking, you know what? That's something I kind of want to look at. Maybe do a little resolution, whether it's, I need to lose 10 pounds. We've all said that one. You know, whether or not maybe that is you. Maybe you're saying, oh, I could stand to lose a little weight, particularly after overindulging at the holidays. We all did it. I did it, too. I will admit it.
Me, too.
But there's definitely some other things. Are you a resolution guy yourself?
I sometimes make them and sometimes I don't. I usually make a bunch of running goals for the upcoming season. That's they're not resolutions. They're just setting goals for the season. And most of the time, I meet those.
Okay. Now we're talking goals for running or running goals as they continue.
Like, you know, beating a certain time.
Oh, okay. Running, you know, so an running, actual running.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like running a certain number of 10K races. I'd like to run 3 next year. Mm-hmm. I'd like to win the whole Kalamazoo Area Runners Championship overall.
Okay.
And run below 1908, which was my personal best I set last year for a 5K.
Okay. So I'll totally ignore all of that because I'm not near that fast. But anyway, so, you know, running is part of that. Certainly getting fit mm-hmm. is something a lot of people bring up. Losing weight. One of the most interesting things, and I've thought about this as a resolution, I know I would break it. That's one of the reasons it keeps it from me. But this was a resolution that actually President Bush made when he was in office. He made a resolution to read one book per week every week for the entire year. So basically, by the end of the year, 52 books that you've finished. And, you know, wide and varied things like that. And it was something I'd heard about this. Karl Rove had mentioned at one time. And he talked about that he and the president kind of made this joint resolution. And he says, you know, Karl Rove said, well, I didn't really think much about it after the first of the year. And then, you know, I'm about 4 days into the year, and the president stopped me and said, by the way, I'm reading this book. What are you reading? You know, when the president comes to you and says that, yeah, maybe I better dig into that.
Yeah. You know, actually, that's what I'd like to do is read a little bit more. I recently got myself a library card, and I'd like to go out and go to the library, check out some books. I mostly like to read sports books, so I'd be into that. Or if they have Star Trek books, I like Star Trek as well.
So sports biographies and things like
that?
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I've been a while since I've read a sports biography. My son's into those more than I am, actually. So he was just reading, believe it or not, I mean, he's age 12, and he was reading T.O.'s biography.
Oh, wow.
Or autobiography, you know. And he said to me at one point, yeah, pretty much as I figured, he said it was everybody else's fault. Everything was everybody else's fault. It was like, okay, 12-year-old coming up with that. All right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one that I've considered because it's kind of one of those things that you think, well, that would, I guess, quote unquote, make you smarter, or supposedly it would.
Yeah.
You know, because you're spending the time digging into some books and things like that. I think the problem for me is being able to take the time to just stop myself to say, all right, I need to read. Mm-hmm. And, of course, at my house, we just moved. So I figured out that we had, I don't know, it was over 20 boxes of books. Because I love books, and I'm a sucker for them. I can't get enough. But then I never have time to read.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this winter I might have to develop some time somewhere, tells me. But another thing that's an interesting thing, and this is just a me thing, I guess I'm a frustrated aspiring writer.
Mm.
So that's going to be one of the things that hopefully soon I can kind of break down and do a little bit more of. It's something that I've got, a short story, a novel, and a nonfiction book all started.
Nice.
So it's just a matter of being able to dig into that and try and finish those things so that, you know, maybe I could have people actually read them or something, you know.
Yes. That'd be fun. That would be nice.
But maybe you've got a resolution as well, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 that you'd like to share with us. It doesn't happen to be about reading or anything, but, you know, maybe you decide, no, I'm going to pay off a little debt. Or, you know what, maybe I'm going to not drink as much. Some people do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they decide, well, you know what, I'm going to cut back on that. Or stop smoking. That's another one that's a very admirable goal. Volunteering, something people decide they're going to do more of. That can be a good thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to ask, since you said that you read sports books and that kind of thing, what's just top of your head, last sports book you read?
Oh, boy. that's hard to think because, you know, I haven't really read a book in quite a while. That's why I'd like to really get back into it.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. See, so I've embarrassed you on the air. Okay, that's good.
It's okay. It's not that big of a deal.
Okay, I'll remember that. I'll embarrass you on the air a lot then. All right. But, you know, I think the big problem I have right now with the idea of read a book every week. The book I'm in the middle of right now has 1,100 pages.
That's quite hard to read in a week.
Yeah, I don't think I can tackle that in the week. Now, I'm on page like 200-something.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel good. I'm patting myself on the back a little bit. But it's a little tougher when you go, I'm on page 200 out of 1,100 versus 200 out of 278.
Yeah.
You know, then you feel pretty good. You kind of feel like, okay, I'll get there. But, yeah, it's... what I'm in the middle, in case you're wondering why I've picked such a big, thick book, I got addicted to the Game of Thrones series.
Oh, yes. Very good TV show.
Which I've not watched the TV show.
Okay.
For the specific reason that I want to read the book first. You know, and of course, the books are big, thick, 1,000-page things. So I'm in the middle of book three.
And how many are in
there are currently,
series?
There are currently five.
Five, okay.
I guess he's writing a sixth one, and there's a seventh one planned. And he's going to finish at that with the seventh one, and that's that.
Okay.
So, but he does get into some pretty detailed type stuff when you get in there. So it's, you know, I guess I don't start small at all.
You start pretty big.
I didn't start with, you know, the Dick and Jane's reader or anything like that, you know, and going for something big there. But, yeah, maybe you've got something like that. Love to hear from you. 382-4280. We're talking a little bit on resolutions. Or 877-382-4280 as we continue ahead. Maybe you want to do that reading a book a week. You know, maybe if we all do that together, we'll all get a lot smarter or something.
Yes.
Hmm.
I'll become a lot more knowledgeable in sports.
There you go.
Then
you won't be embarrassed when I ask the questions off the cuff. We continue straight ahead. So we continue on with the program. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Roger Taylor has the day off. For some listeners, they're going, phew.
It's like, what a relief.
It's just so much quieter. So, you know, and for others, they're going, man, I wish he'd come back. Getting tired of listening to this guy. But you know what? We trudge forward nevertheless. But, you know, another thing that people enjoy, maybe not necessarily enjoy, but make as part of their plan of New Year's resolutions is, you know what, I'm going to save some more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not just the, oh, well, you know what, 15 minutes saved me 15% on my car insurance or whatever, you know, not that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's one thing apparently people are doing a little bit more of. I read an article on this several months ago that saving is actually up for the first time in a long time.
Wow.
Which is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
I think. But, you know, for an awful lot of people, you think about, you know, you save some money and... how that comes in handy. I mean, I remember a friend of mine a couple of years ago talking about, yeah, we've set up Christmas club accounts. And I think, gosh, now there's something I hadn't thought about. Planning for next Christmas.
Mm, yes.
And, you know, saving up so you're ready to be able to spend that money on gifts and that kind of thing. It's not something that we all look ahead to very easily.
I definitely never thought of that.
I did it 1 year. And it worked real well. But then, like, the next year, a whole bunch of different things happened, and it was like, I don't think I got the money to be able to set aside to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always a good thing. I actually saw a thing, I think it was on Facebook the other day. Somebody talked about that, you know, they kind of challenge themselves every week to, you know, week one of the year, save a dollar. Week two of the year, save $2. Week three of the year, save $3. And so on and so forth. And they had a number that it built up to. It was pretty unbelievable given the thought behind it of what you would end up with at the end of the year. I don't know. I'll have to calculate it out, I guess.
Yeah.
But you know, it's kind of an interesting thing to be able to say, all right, that's a great way to maybe save a little money over the course of the year. There's an awful lot of people that would say, you know what? I'm going to go get that master's degree. Or I'm going to go finish my bachelor's degree.
Yes.
Or, you know, do something to better the education. And, you know, let's face it, around here, it's actually pretty easy to do. you know, because you got like universities that are like next door.
Yeah.
You know, that helps. But it's one of those things that's definitely worthwhile. It's one of those things that I've thought about a time or two myself. Kicked around the idea, oh, you know, a master's degree, that might be good. But that's something that people talk about. Another thing, travel. Taking a trip. Go someplace that they've never been. And I don't know that that's on my list because, you know, really when it comes down to it, travel takes money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, apparently since I buy books all the time, I don't have any money. So, but if I did, I, you know, it may sound funny, but I figured out one place that I'd like to go.
Where's that?
Washington, D.C.
And why is that?
I've never been.
Nice.
So it's one of those things. I just like the idea of going to the different monuments and mm-hmm. things like that. And, you know, see the different, and I really want to go to the Smithsonian.
Yeah, that would be a really interesting museum to visit.
You know, I'd love to be able to, you know, since they've got the space shuttle there, they got, what is it, the Discovery, I think, that mm-hmm. Went there. I'd like to be able to actually see this thing. And, you know, I don't know if they let you get close enough to touch it. Probably not. But, you know, to be in the same room with the thing when we go, oh, okay, yeah, that went into space and I was standing next to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that I find that really interesting. And I would find really interesting to go to the World War II Memorial and, you know, the Lincoln Memorial and things like that. I'd love to be able to sometime tour the White House.
Yes.
You know, and I know that takes a lot to do. I guess they've got public tours going again. I'm not sure. But I'd love to be able to just, you know, and not even necessarily to meet the president or anything like that, but just to go stand in the Oval Office for a minute and just kind of take it in and go, everything happened in this room. Wow.
Yeah, that'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah, I just kind of think it would overwhelm you. You just sit there and think of all the decisions that have been made in that room and all the different people that have been there and the different things that were said and done and not done or things you'd rather forget that were done in there. Hint, hint, Bill Clinton. Anyway. But, you know, that's one of those things that I would love to do is make my way to Washington, D.C. I've never been there. One of those places. I've been around a lot of different places, but have never managed to make it to the nation's capital. So I'd like to do it. What's on your list, travel-wise?
Well, I don't really travel too much. I like to travel to my cabin, or my family's cabin in the UP, up in Munising. That's a nice place to go. And and every year, I always like to make a trip over to Comerica Park, go to Cedar Point, and Michigan's Adventure. Because I'm a roller coaster enthusiast.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Okay. I have to talk about the roller coaster thing sometime. That'll be interesting. But, yeah, I mean, some good stuff out there for traveling. I know if I asked my wife this question, she'd say Italy. So, you know, help me. That's going to be expensive. But there's a lot of different things that you could travel to. If maybe that's your resolution. You're thinking, you know what, I'd like to travel somewhere. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 as we continue ahead talking about this. You know, resolutions, there could be a lot of good things that people would want to do. Travel is definitely one of them, though.
So I got an answer for the adding up, you know, saving a dollar each week.
Oh, okay. Somebody went through and calculated that.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
The answer is $1,378 you would save.
There you go. There you go. See, and that's actually a good thing if you save that much money over the course of a year. And apparently very doable if you look at the model that you just do a dollar 1 week, $2 the next, three, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, that kind of takes away from the pizza money a little bit. You know?
But sometimes you get gift cards at Christmas time that can help out with that.
That's true. That's true. And if you got one, hey, you know what? Send it to Jeremy Lawrence. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I got one right here. I would throw it through the window to you, but it would just bounce off of it.
No, that's okay. Besides, you threw something at the window earlier. So, no, I was sitting here, and the all of a sudden this window between us, I hear this. What? He claims he put his cup down. I think he just threw something at me. You know, that's all there is to it.
I swear it was just my water bottle hitting the desk in here.
But did you ever think about, getting back on travel, do you ever think about traveling outside the country, someplace that, you think, you know, one of those destination places?
Well, I have never been to Canada before, so that'd be interesting to go. The thing about traveling outside the country, I am really deathly afraid of flying on planes.
Oh, okay.
Because I've always seen, you know, since I was a kid, seeing the crashes that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the one off the top of my head, but it was the TWA flight that happened back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It was like a major news story, and I saw that, and after that, I was like, I don't want to fly. And
okay.
So I'm kind of deathly afraid about doing that, but okay. I'm not deathly afraid of roller coasters.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, well, there's an interesting little combination, you know, and actually flying, they say, is the safest way to travel.
Yes.
It's not the most comfortable way of traveling anymore because they sardine you in there next to people. But you know, I guess some people have a problem with that.
I have been on a plane once. Yes, a little plane touring the Upper Peninsula.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay. That might have actually been a little fun.
That was fun.
So, but Canada.
Yeah.
You're not setting your sights very high. Canada is like, you know, right over there.
No, all I have to do is go drive to Detroit, go through the bridge, or go over the bridge, and I'm in Canada, and I'm good to go.
You know, I can't make too much fun because I've not actually been outside of the United States itself.
Mm-hmm.
But and the funny thing was, is I lived in Michigan for 7 years previous, you know. Never made my way to Canada.
And I never have either.
And this was before they actually made you have a passport at the border, you know. So, you know, because they used to just do that. Oh, okay, you can come through. You know, this was before 9/11.
Yeah.
So, now they kind of make you have a passport. That's sort of important. But, thinking about overseas, as I'd said at one point, my wife has talked about Italy. I've always wondered about going to Paris.
Oh, yes.
You know, just to be able to see some of the sights there. I mean, not just the Eiffel Tower, but maybe have coffee and croissant over there on the Champs Elysees. I could go for that, you know. But Canada, maybe I can work my way up a little bit there, get to Canada, the French speaking parts, and then, you know, so it's baby steps the whole way.
I heard you better learn how to speak French first, because otherwise they won't talk to you in English if you don't know how to speak French.
Yeah. Sadly, my 3 years of high school French probably would not do me any good.
And I took Spanish, so that's not going to help up there.
Look at you. What is your problem? That's not our language.
My girlfriend would like to go back to London. She's been there before with her family. And so she said that I'm going to get on a plane and go with her to London.
Oh, well, you know, that's okay.
I may squeeze her hand really tight where she can't feel it, though.
Well, you know, they actually... you could always do like they knock you out for the journey. So that, you know, as you're flying 8 hours, you're asleep. The only problem is you get there, you're awake after that. And okay, I'm ready to go.
I've seen them do that on a comedy show one time. Mm-hmm. And then they had a delay in the flight. So the guy ended up waking up before they actually took off.
So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is for that. But, at some point, I figured it out. After you get through the ordeal of flying and the whole bit, it's just kind of like a bus with wings, really. Mm-hmm. You know, so and I will admit I've not been through a ton of turbulence over the course of time that I've been flying. So apparently, if you go through some bad turbulence, that could be a problem.
Yeah. Especially if I got on a plane and it was my first flight.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not so much fun. But actually, the first place that I flew... way back when I was on a plane, went to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of fun, you know, and really rather boring.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, once you get up there, you're just kind of leveling off and flying. You look out the window. Okay. There's more land.
Okay.
And more land and more land. And then finally you get over the Pacific Ocean. It's like ocean. Ocean, okay.
Oh, so the flight was boring, not
the
Hawaii.
No. Hawaii was
okay.
Great.
I thought you meant Hawaii.
I would go back in a heartbeat, but no, the flight itself was dull.
I could definitely see that, yes. I understand your point now.
So there you go. So, you know, maybe you just think about that as you think about different resolutions. There's a lot of people going, you know what? He's right. I'm going to Hawaii. That's what it is, you know. If you go to Hawaii, I only give you this tip, and it's a very good tip. If you go, get a layover in California. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks up the flight. It's nice.
And your legs won't hurt as much.
There you go. because you'll be sitting, you know, there wedged in sardine next to somebody. Been great to be with you. We'll be back again tomorrow. Hope you will be. Have a good one.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.